The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Sheila Walsh shares her emotional story when doctors suspected she had a brain aneurysm.
I was going in with the presence of Christ. Amen. And I remember laying there saying, Lord, thank you that you're in here with me. And I don't know what the outcome will be, but what I do know is you are with me. Come good news, come bad news, because prayer doesn't always change the circumstances, but prayer always changes us.
Yes.
We become changed when we pray.
Sitting here with two beautiful women and two of the my favorite women in all the world, and I just think I've said it many times and I believe it, aside from the Holy Spirit, apart from the Holy Spirit, the greatest inspiration and influence on the planet, in my opinion, for positive. And they can also, you know, be a distraction, but the greatest source of inspiration are women. And Betty, I want to thank you. I've said it many, many times. Boy, for God to bless this kid here. When I was only 15, God showed you to me. Now, what did he do to get you liking me? Everybody wants to know.
You're pretty cute, too.
Oh, it's a word. You just said
it. Well, I mean, you're handsome now. You're cute, too.
Oh, yeah, okay. Here we go. Anyway, I'm telling you, it's a shoot. All right, here is the other person I'm talking about, Sheila Walsh. And the title of this book is Praying Women. Now, ladies, let me just tell you something. I really believe this. I believe one of the reasons God has blessed the outreaches of life is because of praying women. Right. And probably some weeping women and caring women and sharing women. And I know some of you have a hard time leaning on your husband to get him to realize we ought to do this. Thank you for being persistent. And I would say to every man that hears my voice, ask God to give you, because I pray this, I want the sensitivity. I want the ability to have the compassion that a mother has for a child, for all people God loves. And you know what? God's hearing that because he's put a lot of compassion in my heart. And it's because of praying women in many instances. Would you welcome to Life Today one of our wonderful hosts of Life Today, along with our son Randy, and then incredible specials that she does, and speaking all over the country. Would you welcome Sheila Walsh to Life Today? I'm glad you're a part of Life Today. I'm glad you're a part of Life Outreach.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy. I feel so privileged to stand beside you and to carry out this glorious message that you are not alone. God is listening.
That's right.
He is listening. Mm-hmm. Boy, now you said a mouthful of that. Let's repeat that. You're not alone. God is listening. Listening to who? You.
That's right.
And this fatherless kid being heard by the ultimate father. And he likes to hear me. And I've learned, Sheila, to love to hear his voice. And I really believe that when we pray, we can download our heart. But I really think if we'll be still a little while, we can hear a lot of wisdom and insight from his heart.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. For the last 2 years, literally 2 years, I wake up every morning with that one word on my heart and spirit, pray, pray, pray. And so much so that I began, for 2 years, I've been studying everything the Word of God says about prayer, what other great giants in the faith have said about prayer. And so I decided to put a little thing up on my Facebook page and ask people, what do you struggle with in prayer? And it was really interesting, the feedback. I get bored. I get distracted. I'm halfway through my prayer and I'm thinking, did I defrost the chicken for tonight? Or why do I pray if God already knows what he's going to do? And so that's why I wrote this book, because I wanted it to be a 10-chapter manual on what to pray when you don't know what to say.
Well, and I think you've just really fleshed it out beautifully. Do you want to take off on some of the points? I mean, I know I can go and just read the chapter titles, and boy, they're, to me, they're all blockbusters. But do you want to start? I mean, you've got your...
I took my notes.
You talk about due diligence. She says, I'm going to say the things that I really believe will help you because I want you to get in the book. And I think the book can help you get into prayer with a fuller understanding and have a more meaningful, let's say intimate prayer relationship with God, to where you all of a sudden realize, I'm not just talking to the air or to the wall. I'm having fellowship with somebody that's really tuned in. You feel that way?
Absolutely.
He's anxious to hear us.
Absolutely. You know, I have this thing about not liking photo shoots. And so when they wanted to have my picture in the front of the book, I was like, oh gosh, no. So we drove down to this beautiful big white barn in East Texas to do the photo shoot. And we were early. Barry and I were the first ones there. And he brought a chair from home, a white chair, and he sat it in the middle of this big kind of cathedral place, and he went to the car to take a couple of phone calls. And I looked at this little chair, and I've never heard the audible voice of God, but in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, come and sit a while.
Wow.
And I just went, and I sat on that chair, and it wasn't a time of me bringing my requests. It was simply sitting in the presence of the Lord. Yes. And I believe that we should process our pain in the presence of the Lord.
Wow.
Process your emotions, process your fear, process your doubts. And it's like the Father is so glad you came.
Wow.
It's a powerful thing. And I believe if God's daughters began to grasp hold of the power of this weapon, it would literally change the world.
And you know, you can sure just open your eyes and look around or just listen to the sounds or just glance at the news for a moment, and you see the sheer chaos. You see the stage set for indescribable, damaging chaos, even deadly chaos. You see dissension, deception, division. That's not just disagreement, but it's outright hatred. You don't have to look very far to find something to pray about.
No.
And here's the thing, if people just realize, because you're talking about processing your pain, take your pain, but you can also take the pain you see out here and all that's going on that's causing pain and ask God to give us the miraculous direction to begin to effectively deal with that. And don't you think He will give us some sensible solutions that can be delivered?
Absolutely, but I loved studying what Jesus said about prayer, because it's one thing to read a book and here's what so-and-so thinks or so-and-so, but when Jesus said, when you pray, do this, that I want to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And He told that parable in Luke's Gospel about the Pharisee and the sinner. The publican. The sinner, the Pharisee walked right to the front because he believed he belonged there. And if you read his prayer, it's basically a love letter to himself. Thank you that I'm not like him, and I'm not like him, and I'm not like him. But the publican stayed at the back and beat his chest, which was a sign in those days of true repentance, and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. So what I want to say to people is, it's not about finding holy words. John Bunyan said, it's better to have a heart with no words than words without a heart.
Wow.
Sometimes the most powerful prayer is simply this, Lord, have mercy on me. Save me.
And
help
no
me.
No one's a greater listener than God.
No.
I mean, many times when, just like you said, you feel like beating your chest and crying out to God.
Yeah.
And know you say, there's any word we call out to God, it can be the perfect word for that moment and that time.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, everybody's going to go through heartache, through disappointment, but just to know that He's there to listen.
Yeah.
And then He's there to speak to you too. He teaches us how to listen.
Yeah. I say it over and over and over. You are not alone. God is listening. Because a lot of people think, well, I know my own life, and I know my life's not that pleasing to God, and why would God listen to me? That's because that's who He is. You know, Barry and I tried to do a prayer closet. You know, like, I've heard of people who'll get one room, and they'll put scriptures, and they'll make that where they go to pray.
All of us saw War Room. We felt like we had to go get a closet.
I haven't seen it yet, but I got the idea from there.
Yeah.
And I thought, but for us, it was a disaster, because when I close the door, the light goes off. So then what I did was I got three candles, but I set fire to my streams in the desert. So that was a disaster. But you know what I heard God say? Sheila, you don't have to find a holy place. You are the holy place.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
That because we love Jesus, we've become a holy place to carry his presence. Mm-hmm. And just his delight that we spend time alone with him and we capture his heart and we listen to him.
Yeah, and he said, you were talking about what Jesus says. He says, don't use vain repetition.
Right.
And that vain repetition that he's referring to, he said, don't sound like church folks. Don't sound like... And really, this Pharisee was the ultimate end of church folks. And when the Lord Jesus was talking about this religious person... By the way, the self-righteous gave Jesus more real misery than anybody in the past. Because what really hinders the grace and the transforming salvation and redemption he offers is the self-righteous person. By the way, they make all of us nauseated. They're living nauseated. They look nauseated while they're stuffy. And what Jesus is saying, don't try to be like what you hear in religious settings. Don't do that. And don't say it over and over thinking that you're going to be heard by your much speaking. Be merciful to me, that sinner said. And the Lord said, this man went away justified. Some people say, mean just as if I'd never sinned. Mercy, grace covered him. And so when we come like that, it's amazing what happens. God downloads himself on us, taking your pain and process that pain. Now, you've got another note there. I don't want to read a chapter title that would take you off these notes, because you have prayed over these notes.
I have. I've prayed and wept. And
yep, I know you did.
Honestly, James, I've had the privilege of writing over 70 books. This is the most important book I've written.
I know you really,
really
believe that.
I
believe it.
Because prayer
changes
us.
Because if we pray, it's going to shake the world.
Yes.
You just said that.
Yeah.
And it's true.
The other thing I wanted to write about was, how do you pray when it's hardest to pray? Mm. Like when you're praying for something and you're not seeing the answer. I didn't even tell you and Betty this, but like about 3 months ago, I came home from a trip and I had the worst headache I've ever had. And it didn't shift, and I thought, I wonder if I've got the flu. So I went to a drop-in clinic and they asked me a few questions, and then the doctor said what I now know to be a pivotal question: is this the worst headache you've ever had? And I said, yes. And he said, is there any history of brain aneurysms in your family? And I said, yes, my father died when he was 34. And so he said to Barry, get her to the emergency room immediately and tell them they have to take her straight in and she has to have a CAT scan. And as we were driving to the emergency room, all I could remember was what that had done to my father, how it changed his personality, how he was like a different person. And I thought, Lord, is this going to be my story? Is Christian going to end up with a mom who's not like the mom he knew? And, you know, what was interesting is the more you dive deep into the presence of God. Because when they were putting me in the CAT scan, they thought I was going in alone. But I was not going in alone. I was going in with the presence of Christ.
Amen.
And I remember laying there saying, Lord, thank you that you're in here with me. And I don't know what the outcome will be, but what I do know is you are with me. Come good news, come bad news. Because prayer doesn't always change the circumstances, but prayer always changes us.
Yes.
We become changed when we pray.
I just want to say, you're watching, and just kind of zoom here on me for just a minute, if you would, where I can just talk to you. I just wish I could. I feel like there's somebody right now that you just really, boy, you heard a download. Not just from Sheila, you heard a download from a father that loves you more than you could ever imagine being loved. And he's wanting, you know, you could perhaps identify when she's lost her father with this. And if you know, and as many people as we know what happens when these things happen. She thought maybe her world is changing, but she went in. And I've been in when they did the CAT scan and the MRI on me. And it got worse and worse the longer they did it. And I'm actually in the tube saying how much I love my kids. And just telling God. I mean, so we know this, but I just felt when she was talking that I need you to listen to something. I don't know where you are in your journey or your pain, but if Sheila and I were there and Betty, we would walk over and sit down right by you. No, we really would. And if we could pull you over, we'd just do our best to comfort you. And God wants to do that, and I'm telling you, he does. So just say, Father, would you just hold my hurting heart? Would you just take the challenge and the fear right now? And Lord, would you teach me to pray? And you're going to begin a process. Now, Lord, just start this work and give them a peace and a comfort they don't even understand, just your presence. And then help them to learn to where they're going to commune and fellowship with you in the sweetest fellowship they've ever known. And let them see the miracle of your presence. Sheila, continue to share with us out of your heart what God put on your heart, because you've really borne not only your heart in this book, but you've just shared the heart of God. What do you want?
You know, the thing that I think is amazing, I think in our viewers right now who are watching, who are in a devastating circumstance and they don't know how to pray. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in a place where there's no roadmap, but Jesus is our guide to know how to pray when it's hardest to pray. Think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the doctor gives us that interesting detail that Christ sweat drops of blood, that hematohidrosis, which not only means he was in agony, it actually makes your skin more sensitive. So it made the crucifixion way more painful because he prayed in agony. But then, so he told God the truth, but then he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And if you're in pain, then you get to tell God the whole truth. You get to have a gut level, unedited conversation where you pour your heart out. The psalmist said that, pour your heart out before the Lord. But then we're able to say in faith, as Jesus, our tour guide, did, "Not my will, but your will be done."
Boy, that's it. And he's worthy of that trust.
Yes.
We can trust his will. And we may not always understand it, but we can trust it. One of your chapter titles is Pray When It's Hardest, and I think you've touched on that with what we've already said, but is there any other explanation you want people to get of pray when it's hardest to prayer and to pray? What do you want them to get? What do you want put them to hear?
I just believe, and you know this, you and Betty know this, Christ is a redeemer of our pain. And what I've learned is where your wounds are, there lies your authority. Mm-hmm. When you have walked through a cancer journey, you can speak. When you have lost a child, you can speak with an authority. That there's so many things that happen that we think, "Why, Lord?" But God is a redeemer. There's never a tear that's fallen without him seeing it. Psalm 56, verse 8, you know, "You've captured all my tears in your bottle." And it's just, we as the body of Christ get to share in the suffering, because where our pain is, where our scars are, there lies our authority to speak about those who are further behind us and say, "Don't worry, keep walking. I'm further down the line and Jesus is here. It might look really dark to you, but Jesus is here."
You are, this book is being released here early in the year. We're giving it to all of you who'll just give somebody a drink of water, literally. And you're going to learn to pray. And what Sheila and the other women are doing in their praying is they're encouraging you. They want to see a million women start right now praying. And then it become millions of women. Sheila, you've just come back from... by the way, would you like to just thank Sheila right now? And just thank the Lord for sharing his heart and her heart. Sheila, you've just come back from the trip to Africa. You've been on many with the Life Mission Team. You just came back from Zambia. What tore at your heart when you watch these mothers and these people that were losing children because of contaminated water?
This one trip has changed my life for good. I sat with so many mothers who've lost a child. One mother, her child fell in the well. One mother, her child was taken by a crocodile. I mean, I heard horrendous stories. But then I got to go to this village where there was a well and it said Life Outreach International, given by the partners. And I was like, let's do this again and again and again.
Father, that's what we pray for. We are right now in the early stages of drilling as many wells as you'll enable us to drill. And by the way, we can only drill the wells that love drills through you. We drill them one well at a time. They're paid for by love. They cost $4,800 on the average. You may be able to drill a well or give a part of a well and pray others join you, but there's a level at which you can participate. And I'm praying for a miracle outpouring of God's love through you. I want you to watch. I want you to listen. And I want you to not only hear the need and see it, but I want you to listen to the heart of God. You're the miracle. Watch closely. Watch prayerfully. Here's a well right here for a family. It's a hand-dug well. And they've got a container like this that they lower down into the well. And again, you look at this water, and it looks pretty clean. But it's actually got sewage in it. And this is very, very typical of many places near population centers.
Nene Selefi, Masha, alishipite. Kumane kaimula kurukira shaku kurukira kurukira. Sotulano abu. Olomo kurukira mpongo machani kaboya. Sotulano otakuwa kai kwa kuteka manshi.
For mothers around the world like Salefi, hand-dug wells are the only source for drinking water. But hand-dug wells fail to stop contaminants from seeping into that drinking water.
Tukatitika wakati swabo, nani 4 days, yani toka samu kuona mwili kupi. Kumana mwili samu kunjira daili ya wana mbafo wafu wakufu.
The death of a child is always tragic. A death caused by what was supposed to have been a source of life is almost too much to bear. When we left Salefi, her remaining children were still drinking from that same hand-dug well. A safely drilled water well, sealed off from outside contamination, saves lives. Help bring safe and clean water to villages like these. Help give water for life.
You know, Betty, we saw that tire over that borehole. And Sheila, you talked about a mother actually realizing that her child had fallen down in one of those boreholes and drowned. So there they're coming to get the water that they think is clean. It's contaminated. It's unsafe. Sheila did talk, and we know it happened where a child went down to the river and an alligator, a crocodile, killed her, killed them. And it's horrific. When that first scene that you saw came on, you saw me standing there by one of those boreholes and showing you that container of water. It's very significant that you understand, because a lot of people ask, how is it that you can drill and get water and do it for $4,800? Well, one thing, petroleum costs have stayed down, thank God, to the United States now becoming the highest energy producer in the world. And that's an answer to prayer. And it's kept things better for everybody, but it's also kept it better for the missionaries and the workers to be able to have the petroleum necessary to keep the rigs going. All right, what that picture you saw says is that water is there. In other words, we go into an area where they've got contaminated water and they're dying. We know the water's there subsurface. We know you can reach it because they're hand digging to it. We go down to that water. We find it very economically. We steel case it, and then we make it accessible where it's a manual pump. They don't have electricity, and if they did have it, it's intermittent, so you don't have it when you need it. It comes and goes. Little children can even get the water. So we can do that, and we're giving oases of hope. Everywhere we drill a well, 1,000 people on average have water the rest of their life, which means that when you give a well, you've just given people the greatest miracle they've ever known. And that miracle is an answer to prayer, and they realize God's real, and they see the love of God in the missionaries. And you're the one. See, the missionaries told me and Betty, I said, we'll come over and stay here with you. No. Go back and get us help so we can stay here and do something for these people. And we came back not knowing, and you talk about a miracle for the missionaries, an answer to their prayers, an answer to those mothers' prayers. You became the answer to prayer. You became the answer to our prayers. We didn't know if you'd do it. We knew we were going to help them all we could. We knew our ministry would do a little. We didn't have the money to do the things we're doing. To give millions of people water, to drill thousands of wells and feed millions and millions of starving children, you did. Okay, right now, I'm asking you to go and get your bank card or get a check. Use that bank card like a check. Go online or dial that number that's always their prayer line. Right now, people are calling to get right with God, calling for prayer, and we're praying with them because we know God answers prayer. But I'm asking you to call that number with that card and say, I'm going to give life today. I'm going to be an answer to prayer today on this prayer line. It's going to be a lifeline for somebody. I want you to make the largest gift you can. If you can give a well, do it. You give 1,200, three people join you, we got another well. Lord, raise those 4 people up. You can give half the money, 2,400, somebody join them. $48 gives 10 people water the rest of their life. $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. There is a level at which you can share the love of God right now. Do it. Don't let anything distract you, please. you be that miracle expression of God's love. We've got gifts to send you, Sheila's book, other beautiful gifts that are going to bless you and point you to Jesus. Thank you for making that gift. Thank you so much.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
We are sending Sheila's book to all of you to say thank you, but also because it's going to take you on a journey. That Sheila, if women understand the reality of the relationship, the person they're praying with, to say it's life-changing almost seems like an understatement. Do you think it's been one of the greatest experiences? How long have you been a Christian? Do you mind me asking?
I became a Christian when I was 11. I'm now 63, 52 years of the faithfulness of God.
And this has been the most wonderful journey you told me you've ever taken.
Life-changing. Life-changing.
And it can be for everybody. Yeah. All right. You want to say thanks to Sheila Walsh for being here. Thanks for writing. We're anxious to send you this book. And you tell your friends to get in the bookstores, get it online. We want everybody praying. Praying women. And men, let's pray with them.
If you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. Go to lifetoday.org/tickets. lifetoday.org/tickets.
And you never have to think, well, was that prayer okay? It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a good chance. It's good to hear that.
How to pray when you don't know what to say. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.